Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Well, I've been handed one of these little sheets, or if you came in nice and early, you got a card. Well done. And hopefully also you got a pen on the way as well. And if you didn't get a pen, there are a few more. Anne is zooming around the back. You might be helped. You may have bought a pen, even if you're one of those super organized people. And there'll be a little bit of writing to do. It isn't ever optional, but you might be helped. So do grab that. And I'm going to invite Carol Petley to come up and read now for us. She's going to read from Psalm 20. And that's on the back of that sheet. But as she comes up, I've just got a little bit of introduction to do, because this is a song. We are going to be reading a song. A song that is very old, but still worth knowing today. And it helps us look in the right direction, whatever difficulty we face. But first, I want to give you a sense of the mood of this song, okay? And I've got three slides to get you in the mood, okay? Here we go. Here's the first slide. These are fill-in-the-blank slides. First slide, please, if I may, Stu. What should that say? Come on, you Reds. Come on, you Reds. Okay, don't all shout. You know, a little bit more. I'm looking for interaction. Okay, right. Well, then, that was your warmer up. Here we go. Next one.
Blue.
Blue. Thank you, Ike. You know that best. Yes. Blue is the colour. Okay, fantastic. Now, as a reflection of the immense imagination and kind of sartorial breadth of the Premier League, look at the next one. Yes, now which is it, the red and blue? I think blue gets swallowed, doesn't it? Red and blue army, red and blue army. There we go, Crystal Palace, fantastic. That is the kind of song we are coming to. No, hang on, you say to me. There were no footballs. There were no stadiums in David's day, true. But there was a battle on. There was an army that was trying to win a contest. There was a team captain, King David, sometimes called the Anointed One. And there were fans, there were supporters, the whole people of God who sang this song. And they were all hoping that David and his army would be kept safe and they would win the day, because if they won the day, then the whole nation would be safe and singing it. So, see if you can imagine it like that as we read it. Carol, come and read from Psalm 20 and do follow along on the back of your cards.
The card, it's found on page 557 in the Pew Bibles. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now, this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call.
Thank you so much, Carol. Let's just spend a moment praying. Heavenly Father, please open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Amen. Okay, I would like to spend some time thinking with you about this psalm, and particularly verse 7. This is what verse 7 says. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Okay, so just to make sure we remember this, you're going to say chariots, you're going to say horses, and you're going to say the name of the Lord our God. Okay, right, let's have a go. Some trust in
chariots
and some in
horses,
but we trust in the
name of the Lord our God.
Right, yeah, almost there. Name of the Lord our God. I'll come to explain that in a moment. One more time, let's just see if it's really sunk in. Some trust in
chariots
and others in
horses,
but we will trust in okay, brilliant, fantastic. Hopefully that's going to be, earwigging its way through your day. Because it's a wonderful verse to remember. It's a verse, first of all, about King David's trust. About King David's trust. Now, bit of a question to begin with. What do you think was the most powerful war machine 3,000 years ago? Okay, just turn to the person next to you for a moment. What do you think was the most powerful war machine, the most powerful weapon 3,000 years ago? We've probably got some ancient Near Eastern experts here with some really good kind of trivia here. Okay. Right, that'll do. Right, I made it slightly easier for you. Next slide, please, Stuart. Okay, here are some options. Was it A, the avocado? Okay, was it B, a rock? Was it C, a helmet? Or was it D, other? Please specify. Okay, any thoughts? Anyone here? You think it's a rock? Okay. Anyone else?
Something else.
We're going for D. Please specify. Now, if you've been paying attention to what's going on here, you probably know where this is going. Here we go. Big reveal, Stuart. Next one. That's right. Chariots and horses. If you wanted to win a war, you needed lots of these. They were like the fighter jets of ancient Near East. And the more chariots and the more horses you had, the more likely you were to win. But listen to verse 7, because it goes differently. It says, some trust in
chariots
and others in
horses,
but we will trust in
the name of the Lord our God.
How so? Why is that? Well, let me share with you an entirely invented story. Next slide, please. Here is the imaginary king, Baruch the Boastful. Now, Baruch loved his war machines. He polished his chariots every day, and he counted his horses. That's why he loved his abacus as well. In fact, he was so keen on counting his horses, he would count his horses much more regularly than he would pray. And if you ask King Baruch, look, how do you think your next battle is going to go? You know, what's giving you confidence about the next battle? What would he say? He would say, well, look at my army. Have you seen how many chariots I've got? Have you seen my horses? I'm definitely going to win. Now, what do you think happened when Baruch went into battle? Well, you have no idea because I made Baruch up. But let me tell you. The outcome didn't always match Baruch's attitude. Sometimes King Baruch did win because he had many horses and many chariots. Then again, sometimes King Baruch's horses went lame and his chariots got stuck in the mud. And it didn't go so well. Sometimes his horses and chariots worked fine, but the enemy had more chariots and more horses, even than boastful Baruch. And so he lost. And then sometimes King Baruch had more horsepower, but somehow another, stronger force was at work. And he lost anyway. Some trust in
chariots,
and some in
horses,
like Barak. Now, picture King David. Stu, thank you. King David, he had an army with quite a few chariots and horses. In fact, he's quite famous, having a really strong, loyal army. But he knew the real power didn't come from them. And so when the people sang this Psalm 20 that we just had read, they weren't saying, we're confident we're going to win because have you seen how many chariots and horses we've got? What they were saying is, we are confident because we know our God is greater than anything else. So instead of steel and muscle, David and his people, they put their trust in the name of the Lord. In fact, did you know that's what that is? That's the name of the Lord in Hebrew. You don't get any vowels in Hebrew. You just get the consonants. It's quite hard to read when you're first setting out. That's the name of the Lord right there. What does that mean? It sounds a bit strange, trusting in the name of the Lord. Well, trusting in the name of the Lord is like trusting in his reputation. You know, some of you, I guess you might be into brand names. I have some people like that in my household. You know, I'm not buying any trainers unless they're Nike or something like that. Or, you know, I won't have the car unless it's a Volkswagen. Why do people behave like that? Because they know the name and they think, oh, I trust what comes from there. They make good things. That's what it's like. David trusted the Lord because he knew his reputation. He knew what God had done. I know the kind of thing that comes from there, and it's good. I can depend on him. That was David's trust. Okay, but what about our trust? Our trust. This psalm holds up the mirror to us. Everyone trusts in something. What is it for us? Okay, now here you need to do some thinking. Okay, so thinking caps on. I'd like you to just turn to the person next to you, or you can think about it on your own if you so prefer. If chariots and horses were the most powerful things back in David's day, what is the most powerful thing people trust in today? Okay, if it was chariots and horses back then that people trusted in, what is the most powerful thing that people trust in today? 60 seconds, 90 seconds, go. Okay, I'm loving the buzz. You can keep this thinking going later on, but I'd love to have some answers, okay? Back in the day, chariots and horses. What is it today? Anyone, give me an answer.
Money.
Okay, some trust in money. Some in? It's hard, isn't it? Classroom this size doesn't really work. Okay, just shout louder so I'll hear you.
Themselves.
Some trust in themselves. I like it. Other options, may we? Some trust in computers, AI. Anything else? Power. Some trust in power. Keep going.
Success.
Nuclear weapons. Yes, military might. They're still there. Yes.
Basically, the laws of physics.
The laws of physics. Yes. Just the kind of the laws that keep our world going. Yes, we've got some over here.
Donald Trump.
Some trust in Donald Trump. Excellent. Some. Okay, now, listen, you've got some, there's a bit more scope. You're going to be doing a bit more thinking along those lines. That's great. Next slide, please, Stuart. So, here are some of our chariots and horses. I think sometimes we put our trust in how much money we have. Or if the bank balance looks good on the, you know, that feels good. Perhaps it's how many friends we have. Oh, I feel fine. I'm feeling really loved. Perhaps it's how well we're doing at school. I got my grades. I'm made. Perhaps it is how good we look. Take a look in the mirror. And you're like, yeah. how is my health? You know, and that goes both ways, doesn't it? When everything's okay with our health, we're winning. And then when our health is unsettled, we feel like, the world is caving in. Perhaps it's about whether we feel valued at work. You know, that's the thing that really makes me feel, I'm secure. I go into work, they all, you know, give me the nod. They're obviously happy I'm here. Or perhaps it's where we live. Love our house. Sit in our house like, I've made it. Or perhaps how stable our circumstances are. You know, okay, I'm done for another 3 years. Or, you know, I've just got that permanent contract. Or I've just got my indefinite leave to remain. So that's not going away. So I'm stable. Okay, we all have our own chariots and our own horses. Perhaps for the kids it's the coolest phone. Being great at sports, perfect grades. Perhaps for the adults it's financial security, career success, networks, fitness. We could go on. There's nothing wrong with those things. But if that's the one thing that's making us feel safe, then it's taken God's place. And here is the challenge. Our struggle is with chariots and horses. Just think about this for a moment. Okay, our struggle is not with avocados. Let me explain. If someone goes into battle with avocados, this battle's going to go really well for me. Have you seen how many avocados I've got? They're really big. You could side up to them and say, look, have you thought about it? Have you tried throwing one of them? Like, they just bounce off the other people. It doesn't really work. They go, good point. Actually, I forget the avocados. Our struggle is not with avocados. Our struggle is with chariots and horses. Chariots and horses win wars. That's actually quite a sensible thing to have. If you said to me, John, I was thinking of having a war. I mean, I might say, please don't have a war. But just leave that aside. What do you think might make me successful? I would probably say chariots and horses, if it was 3,000 years ago. The thing is, it talks about chariots and horses because the writer knows that we choose to trust not pointless things as opposed to Jesus, but good things, even humanly speaking, necessary things as opposed to Jesus. Sometimes we even trust the things that Jesus gave us. We remember God miraculously providing it for us, but then that becomes the thing we trust. So it's a challenge. Chariots and horses feel like quite a sensible thing to trust in. It's the kind of thing your grandparents said or your parents said, absolutely, that's right, very good, well done. I'm really pleased you've got to that point. And so the question is not, do we have them? But the question is, how do we look at them? How do we look at our children getting on well, or our smart clothes, or our bank account? Is it the thing that makes me feel I'm made and I'm safe? And here's a really good way of getting to the bottom of our attitudes. Just think for a moment, whatever you put in there, whatever's your chariot or horse, what happens when that thing is threatened? What does it look like when you lose it? What is the thing that when you lose it, you start freaking out? You start panicking, you start being mean to your wife or your husband, you just start throwing the toys out the pram. That may be the thing that is your chariot or your horse, the one that has your trust. I remember how the Lord taught me this in quite a powerful way. I was studying for a degree, and my studies had gone quite well until I got to the last term, and all the exams were in the last term. So I thought, fine, I made my revision plan, and so if I just do my revision plan, I'm sure my exams are going to go well. And then, at the beginning of that last term, I got really strong fatigue. And sometimes I really couldn't do anything unless I'd slept sort of 10 or 12 hours. And sometimes I only had a couple of hours of decent concentration per day. I thought, I've lost it. I'm not, all of that hard work is going to go. And I felt a real spiritual challenge. Because I only had a short window of time, there was a real pressure to forget praying, forget talking to God, don't bother reading your Bible, don't bother doing any of the other things that you're supposed to do as a Christian. Just do the work. And there was a real temptation to do that, and it was a real challenge. But amazingly, the Lord gave me this freedom. Pray. Read the scriptures. Even if you end up only with 90 minutes concentration left in the day, it's better to put me first. Now, that's a lesson I have to learn many, many times over, and I'm not saying I'm there right now. But sometimes those are the experiences that we need to remind us where our trust is. But one more thing, just as we wrap up. We shouldn't stop there. Whenever you're reading the Bible, you should ask, where is Jesus? I wonder when you look at Psalm 20, where is Jesus? Might well have a look down at it. Where is Jesus? Well, Jesus, of course, is also a king. He's a greater king than David. He didn't come riding a war horse or a chariot into battle. What did he ride? A donkey. And actually, his greatest battle wasn't fought with swords and shield. In fact, when his friend pulled out a sword, what did Jesus say? Put it away. And it looked like Jesus had lost. It looked like he'd been defeated by the mighty Romans with their many chariots and horses hanging on a cross. And the people around him mocked him. And they said, okay, if he trusts in God, God will sort him out. But actually, in that moment, he was trusting his Father completely. Have a look down at verse 8. This psalm was fulfilled. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. 3 days later, Jesus did rise up. Greatest victory in history. Sin and death were defeated forever. And we live after that time. We can look back. If David thought, the Lord can be trusted. I'll trust in the name of the Lord. How much more? We've seen it in Jesus. And so when we're scared, we can say, Jesus is my king. And he is stronger than anything I face. When everything else shakes, when we just want to give up trying to be faithful to Christ, we just want to throw in the towel, we can stand firm because our king has already defeated sin and death. So, as we wrap up, let me commend Psalm 20, verse 7 to you. Some trust in and some in, but we trust in. Fantastic. Let's take a moment, and I'd like you to take your card, okay, and I've given you a bit of space on it, okay? These are like two ways to live, right? This is the trusting in chariots and horses space, and this is the trust in the name of the Lord our God. And in that space in the middle, if you'd like to, I'd like you to just write down, what are the kind of things that you are tempted to trust in? What are your chariots and horses? Okay, we have a little bit of quiet, we'll perhaps have some music on in the background as you do this. And once you've written them down, or once you've thought of them, I want you to just take that time of quiet to speak to the Lord in prayer. Commit them to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for trusting in these things. Help me to trust in the name of the Lord, my God. Okay, just a couple of minutes to do that, and then we will wrap up. Good. Well, if you want to consider those things a little bit further, perhaps keep going with it. Grab your card, take it home. You might want to pin it onto your fridge for a couple of days. It's got the psalm on the other side. You might want to put it on your bedside table tomorrow morning as you wake up. Just think a little bit about where your trust is. Take it with you on holiday if that's something that you can do. And I hope that that thought stays with you. We're going to conclude our time now with a hymn, a wonderful hymn of trust. We trust in you, our shield and our defender. Let's stand to sing.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.